Thursday, March 10th. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I am coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago, the Midwest metropolis of political corruption, fraudulent candidates, and unethical courts. I thank you for listening to RBN and to this program. As you know, some programs, including this one, are available on shortwave at WWCR 113.845. My website is spingola.com. My email is deanna@spingola.com. If you want to see some of my previous guests and future guests, just go to my radio schedule page, and you can access that through my website, spingola.com. It has their contact information, their websites, and just go there to contact them. We will take calls in the second hour of the program when I open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Carolyn Yeager, the author of Auschwitz, The Underground Tour, and she is the host of her own program called The Heretics Hour. I really like that title. Carolyn, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Deanna.
Well, how are you today?
Well, I'm just fine, actually. I'm quite happy to be here, feeling in a good mood and comfortable.
Good, good. It's always good to be in a good mood and get up on the right side of the bed and have it be sunny.
Yes, it is very sunny. Beautiful day.
Well, I can't say the same here, but I guess I was referring to our disposition.
Okay.
You know, just to have a sunny disposition, even if it's a blizzard outside.
But, well, where I live, I'll just quickly say, we have a lot of sun. It's a great blessing. And so that does really help me to stay in a happy mood, because you can't be very unhappy when you have a beautiful blue sky and a sunny and nice breeze blowing and, you know, pleasant enough temperatures. So
right
there we are.
I have been to your state numerous times, kind of in my previous life, and I really did enjoy the weather. It was wonderful. I grew up in California, and so I can understand and appreciate a wonderful, wonderful climate, and you do have one there where you live.
Yes, pretty good. Not as good as a lot of California, but it's not as crowded here either. So
that's true. How true. How true. Okay, we are going to talk today. We are going to break in another minute, but we are going to talk about Adolf Hitler and some of the things that you've discovered, some of the myths and misconceptions and deceptions that have been written about him. And and you talked about this on two of your programs. And you've brought up some books, particularly by Langer, L-A-N-G-E-R, and which I have accessed here on my computer. And then I also have some other, like The Personality of Adolf Hitler with Predictions of His Future Behavior by Henry A. Murray, M.D., who is with the Harvard Psychological Clinic. So this is what you're going to talk about, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, and, that's true.
Good. And you've also written a very nice article about it on your website, and your website is carolynyeager.com. Okay, we are going to a break, and we will be back with Carolyn Yeager after we hear a word from our sponsors who make all this possible.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. You're using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Carolyn Yeager, the author of Auschwitz, The Underground Tour. And I have a copy to read and a copy to lend, and I've lent it several times. And people are kind of incredulous, and they come back and they say, well, gosh, this isn't the story that I've heard.
Right. It isn't.
Nope, it isn't. Okay. You wrote this article about Adolf Hitler, and it's very interesting in Walter C. Langer's official report. And he worked for the Office of Strategic Services, which was basically the precursor for the CIA. And apparently the president asked him to compile a profile of Adolf Hitler, and some of it is just ludicrous. I mean, absolutely ludicrous. If they wanted a profile, and yet Langer writes a physical description that is almost laughable. In fact, as I was reading it, I just started laughing. I mean, what he wrote is just really interesting.
Well, yes, some of it is laughable, and some of it is just, you know, I consider it as pornography.
Yes.
And in his book, The Mind of Adolf Hitler, which he used this and added some more, he gets even more pornographic. So I don't see, as I said in the article, I don't see how it could have done the OSS any good, because it's basically just a fabrication, a fantasy, and a bunch of lies. You know, he says in the preface here, the first sentence in the preface to this work, this study is not propagandistic in any sense of the term. Well, right there, of course it is. It's totally propaganda. And he says it represents an attempt to screen the contradictory and conflicting and unreliable material concerning Hitler into something that will be helpful, you know, blah, blah. But, you know, it's not screening things. It's creating things that never existed. And it's adding to the hysteria and adding to the misunderstanding or disinfo.
Right.
And so on. So it's just, it's a work of propaganda. It's not, if this is psychology, then, you know, we really need to throw out, psychoanalysis, because this is what so much of psychoanalysis is about. But it doesn't go this far, you know. It doesn't quite as he has.
I also question the timing on this. Now, didn't he publish it in 1943? Wasn't that
this was done in 1943, and of course it was secret. It was just in, you know, within the OSS. It wasn't published. I can't right at the moment think of when this first became available to the public, but maybe you know. Did it become available to the public at that time?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
The report that I have from it's called The Personality of Adolf Hitler. There was number 3 of 30 copies made. It says OSS Confidential. And this was written by Dr. Henry A. Murray of the Harvard Psychological Clinic.
He was a part of the team.
Right.
It was actually supposed to be three psychologists who were working on this, but it seems to have now kind of come down to Langer, who I think had the most influence on it. And one of the three didn't do anything. He dropped out, but later he said he read it and he agreed with it or whatever.
Right.
So it was two of them, but I think it's mostly Langer's work. And then Langer, of course, wrote a book which he published in the 70s, The Mind of Adolf Hitler, which is based on the secret wartime documents or something like that.
Right.
Make it sound like it's real official stuff, you know.
Right. They really wanted to do a psychological profile on him early on, they would have started it back in 1930 instead of halfway through a war that they were winning. That's why I view this as propaganda.
Well, yes, and you know, William Langer, Walter's brother, was first, I believe, recruited to the OSS. He was much more prominent than Walter. I think Walter may have not been that successful. I can't say, but William was very successful. He was head of the history department at Harvard, and they got him into the OSS. He took a leave of absence. And he was in charge of the department of section on strategic and psychological analysis or something like that, analysis. So I think that he brought his brother. I don't have any proof of that, but the only thing you hear about Walter is that he wrote this report, you know? You don't hear anything more about him. He was working in this department. So he brought him in there, and so they gave him this job to do.
Sure.
And, the way I understand it, Donovan wanted something brief that would be helpful, but Walter Langer wanted to do something monumental and do this huge psychological study, which he would, you know, do it in his own way. And, of course, I've pointed out that the Langers are Jewish, even though they do not say in their official, you know, biographies and accounts of them, it never mentions that they're Jewish, that they say they were the sons of German immigrants. But everything points to the fact that they are Jewish. They don't say that they're anything else. They're not Lutheran or Protestant or, you know,
sure,
or something. So they had that, you know, from 1943, they were, as we know, preparing for the end of the war and what they were going to be doing to the Germans and how they were going to handle Hitler, of course, which they didn't know if he would commit suicide or if he would be available to them or what.
Mm-hmm.
So they were making all these plans, including Roosevelt and Churchill. And, you know, they were making the plans for the unconditional surrender, how they were going to treat the German nation, everything. And so this was just a part of that. And so you're
true.
Right that it is, even though it seemed to have been only for the OSS use, it really appears to have been propaganda to demean and deface Hitler and the German people as much as possible.
All right. Just this one little short paragraph. Would you mind if I read it?
No.
Hitler, from a physical point of view, is not, however, a very imposing figure. Certainly not the platonic idea of a great fighting leader of the deliverer of Germany and the creator of the New Reich. In height, he is a little below average. His hips are wide and his shoulders relatively narrow. His muscles are flabby, his legs short, thin, and spindly, the latter being hidden in the past by heavy boots and more recently by long trousers. He has a large torso and is hollow-chested to the point where it is said that he has his uniforms padded. From a physical point of view, he could not pass the requirements of his own elite guard. In dress in the early days, was no more attractive. He frequently wore the Bavarian mountain costume of leather shorts with white shirt and suspenders. These were not always too clean, and with his mouth full of brown, rotten teeth and his long, dirty fingernails, he presented rather a grotesque picture. At this time, he also had a pointed beard, and his dark brown hair was parted in the middle and pasted down flat against his head with oil. Okay, now, let me read you one.
Are you reading from The Mind of Adolf Hitler, the book?
I am reading from the report that Langer created.
Well, the report that I've read, which is, actually, I've read the one that's on the NISCOR project.
Okay,
website,
that's when I...
Which is called... Yeah, it's not called... they call them different things. This one is called the Adolf Hitler OSS Psychological Profile.
Uh-huh.
Or
yeah.
Further... it's called a psychological... Now here it's called a Psychological Analysis of Adolf Hitler's Life and Legend. And
right.
This is supposedly the one written in collaboration with Henry Murr, Ernst Chris and Bertram Lawin, so maybe that Murray was not one of the
right.
Three.
The Murray should be Murray. I'm reading from Hitler as the German people know him, and it's absolutely ridiculous.
I can't remember
ridiculous.
Reading this. Gosh, I see it now. Yeah, now what was he speaking of? Is he speaking of Hitler now, currently,
now.
Or back at some time? See, it's not even clear because it's kind of like back and forth.
Well, yeah.
He certainly didn't go around in short breeches, leather breeches, and the fact is that in 1943, Hitler was suffering some health problems, and he wasn't the man that he had been. So if you want to talk about him in 1943 as being, not up to the standard of, certainly he was never up to the standard of his elite troops.
Sure.
He never said he was. But, you know, all this other stuff, ugly nose, receding, I don't know. This is just total make-believe.
Yeah, he also had a tic in his face which caused the corner of his lips to curl upward. When speaking, he always dressed like a common-looking blue suit which robbed him of all his distinctiveness. I mean, there is nothing... It is all negative like this.
And not only is negative, it's not even true. And anybody who would know anything would know it wasn't true. So it's like, as you said, you laughed, it's like a caricature of something. And you wonder what would compel this man, who is supposed to be a PhD, Walter Langer, to write stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they actually allowed it to be published and put it out makes you wonder about the whole operation.
Right. We're going to a quick break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
My guest today is Carolyn Yeager, and her website is carolynyeager.com. And we're talking about Adolf Hitler. And tell us, what was your purpose in writing about, first of all, you mentioned his Jewish grandfather. So why did you decide to write this, and why did you decide to talk about this on your radio program?
Okay, Deanna, you know, before I start that, I would like to say after what we were just talking about before the break, we need to ask why they did this. Why were they writing something that was so far beyond the realm of believability and so tremendously, which created an image of Hitler, and it goes on and on and on into all sorts of things about his sexual life and his childhood and just full of just plain lies. I mean, beyond inaccuracies. Why were they doing this? Well, as we already mentioned, they were planning on what they were, you know, what they needed to accomplish at the end of the war, once Germany had been defeated, and so this was all intended to demoralize the German people, and to show this around, to give them the idea, because whether this particular report was published or not, these same ideas were being propagated by the American and other allied intelligence agencies, for sure. And this was part of the denazification program. They wanted to make sure that there was no sympathy left for Hitler and his Third Reich, because the people still believed in him. They they were still on that side. And so in order to destroy that, and they wanted to make Germans ashamed, and while they couldn't do it with the generation that was currently adults and could see through it, they were able to do it with the next generation, the children and those coming after them, until they all believe this. And the fact is that this kind of stuff is all over the internet, and I know that plenty of people in this country, you know, Americans, I can speak for those, do believe a lot of things that are so far-fetched you wouldn't think that they would, and they do, because this stuff has been very, very successful. It doesn't say much for our ability to think for ourselves.
Right.
But that was the purpose. Okay, so why did I do it? Well, because for that very reason. I hear all these things. I see these things. And it makes me very angry, because I see it as destroying truth. You know, there is such a thing as truth in history, which I know you are support very strongly. And when they do this, they are destroying truth for the purpose of their political agenda. And everybody has some kind of political agenda, but you only go so far in maybe, you know, trying to make your own side look a little bit better, but you don't go so far as to completely demolish the actual, what actually happened, what the actual historical facts are.
Right.
And so I just keep trying to stick with just the facts. And so I thought, well, I'll do these programs on these lies about Hitler. I'm just going to start with the Hitler was a Rothschild and Hitler was a Jew stories. But then I started reading this book by, I had started reading this book by Werner Maser. And does a lot of research. His book came out in the 70s. And it's just ignored, because he proves beyond any doubt through the records what Hitler's genealogy was. And yet nobody, you know, these people who want to say otherwise just ignore all that and continue spouting out things with nothing to back it up.
Right.
So
that is true about a lot of research. If you just keep repeating the same thing, then pretty soon everybody believes that it's true, because so many people are saying it. And these fabrications, and Langer's fabrications, I mean, when you're reading them all in one sitting, you think, well, this is so ridiculous. But when you divide it up and one person says, oh, yes, he was a homosexual, or he was mm-hmm. this or that, then pretty soon you have this preponderance of lies that everybody seems to believe. But, boy, just reading the report, I mean, it is laughable, truly laughable. And what's the worst thing that you could possibly say about a man is that somehow they molested a child. And they've even got that pinned to his rap sheet.
Everything. At one point, Langer says that he comes right out and says that Hitler had a police record as a sexual pervert in Vienna. Well, he had no such thing. It's just an out lie. And
right.
This is in this OSS report that they bandy around, and then he put in this book that he wrote that they give high mark. You know, the mainstream media.
Sure.
Acts like it's a wonderful expose, and you know, it's nothing but junk. But you're right. If people now on this, that's why I thought after I did the program, I thought, you know, I need to write all this down so that it'll be there in black and white for people to look at. And so I added more information to it, and I've got this article called, The Fake Legends of Adolf Hitler's Jewish Grandfather on my website, and there's a picture I want to talk about there when we come back.
All righty. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys, and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling Total Transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Carolyn Yeager. Her website is carolynyeager.com, and we are talking about Adolf Hitler. Okay, pick up where you left off.
All right, well, If you scroll down to about the middle of the page of this article that's on my website that I had just mentioned, and you did also, there is a side-by-side pictures of Nathan Rothschild and Adolf Hitler. And this came from a website, somebody sent it to me, who actually believed the story and said, well, here's proof. Look at here. This is part of the reason I believe it. Here's a picture of Nathan Rothschild and Hitler together, and you can see the resemblance. And I laughed. I said, are you kidding? Resemblance? What resemblance? That just shows there is none. So I put under here family resemblance. Not a bit, yet some imagine it. You know, this photo comparison is found on internet sites as evidence of Hitler's Rothschild lineage. Well,
sure. They're just both men.
That's it. They both have eyes that look at, you know, looking out at you. Their faces, everything about them, there's no reason. And yet people really will. This person was serious. He had read stuff and he wanted to believe it. And he looked at this and he said, oh, you can see a resemblance there. Because you can see anything if you feel that this is a story that you like. And I think people love this story. They love all these things about Adolf Hitler. I'm trying to remember to call him Adolf because I've always called him Adolf, but you know, I'm trying to change my pronunciation to the way it should be.
Somebody emailed me, excuse me, and they said we always say Adolf. And so, so there's Adolf.
Well, it is Adolf. Yeah, yeah. Well, Adolf is better than Adolf, but because in German it's usually not a long vowel, I guess.
Yeah.
But it is. But another, the German speaker that I talked to said Adolf. That's how they would say it, Adolf. And also, his father's name I've been trying to learn is two programs, and I couldn't get it right because my mouth just won't form it that way. But I'm starting to get it now. His father's name is pronounced Alois, which is easier to say, really. You know, when you get realize it, I've been calling it Alois, and then Alois, but it's Alois, Alois. So you know, this is takes a bit.
And these are just the short words. We're not even talking about some of those great big long words.
Right. But anyway, the fact is that people love to believe all these things about Adolf Hitler because he's just somebody that, you know, we like to have demons. The same, I will just bring it up one more time, the same with the Holocaust. People don't want to give that up. They love horror stories. They love to think of evil and think they've got it. They can pin the, you know, they can point to it. They know what's evil, and therefore they can avoid it. And you know, they know it's evil. They know what's good, and therefore their world is all in order. And if you start changing that around, they don't like it. And they don't want it.
You know, the other thing is, if you point out this horrible, horrible, horrific evil in this one ethnic group, then it makes you pretty, it kind of cleans you up a bit. You know, then people won't look at some of the stuff that that maybe our ethnic group has done. But when you really look at the whole opening of the Buchenwald and who opened it and what they discovered there was the same person that had 200 camps of his own in Germany.
Exactly, and they don't talk about those.
Nope.
We have to try to keep talking about these things, but it's very difficult because people will go right back to what they're comfortable, what they've learned since childhood, and those are the bad guys, and they really don't want to change it. So we have a real battle, but all we can do is just keep trying to speak the truth, and more and more people hear it. But I think that the person who sent me this, he went on and on in some comments about why Hitler was a Rothschild. And he was pointing to these pages and the stuff that was written on them. And since I did the program then, I said, I'm doing this program, listen to it. I have not heard from him. Well, he did write some more, but he didn't mention this again, and he's much very friendly. So I may have changed his mind. And I know there's someone else who told me that he just recently realized that all these top-level Nazis that he thought were Jews. He had them all being Jews. They were all secret Jews, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Rosenberg, because Rosenberg's name sounds Jewish. Well, Alfred Rosenberg, that's a German name, and mm-hmm. he wasn't Jewish. Well, this guy finally caught on, you know, and he said, oh, now I realize that's not true.
Sure.
So,
and what would be the purpose of claiming that Hitler was a Rothschild anyway, just to prove that somehow that he was executing their plan in
yes.
Germany, when in fact yeah. he did just the opposite.
Yes, I know. But the purpose, you know, I've had to just come up with my own reason. And what I think is, and this is only one reason, but that they, that makes him an enemy to the German people. And therefore, you know, I mean, he was really Jewish. He was working. He was working with the Jews to destroy Germany, if you see it that way, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And therefore, you can't like him that way either. See, they want to get in charge. They want to get in control of every group in pro-Hitler, anti-Hitler, or let's say maybe not pro-Hitler, but pro-German, in the World War and so on. No matter what group it is, what position they hold, they want to control that position. And so if you don't like the Jews, then they can say, well, Hitler, it's all these people who say they're anti-Jewish, you know, and anti-Zionist,
mm-hmm.
these info agents who are pushing this Hitler is a Jew story.
Right, right.
Yeah. And that's the reason so that he won't be a hero. The main thing, this is what I think, I'm glad this came up. The bottom line of all of this is to prevent Adolf Hitler from being a hero to people.
Right. Right.
You know, especially to the Germans, but to everybody. And they work, and yet they're not succeeding, because the more they do this, the more a lot of people are just, see him as more and more of a hero, but they still work at it from this angle because that's all they can really do.
Right. And they have to have this super evil demon in order to do all the other stuff that has happened since World War II. And then they can point at every other person that they want to vilify and say, oh yes, that person is just like Hitler. And if you ask yourself, who is the most evil person, or who have you been taught is the most evil, evil person in the whole history of the world? 99% of the people are going to say Hitler.
I know. So it's you can see how successful they are. At the same time, there's a core of people who don't go for it, and it might be growing. I can't say.
I think it is.
I certainly didn't feel this way up until several years ago. You know, I didn't think, I just accepted whatever the history,
sure,
the history told me, and various things that I started reading and learning and studying. You know, the more and more I started to see things differently. So, and now I'm just so angry, as I said, at the lies that I want to bring out the other side of things.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not trying to turn the world, or, you know, I'm not trying to revive Nazis or revive. I would like to help Hitler's image in posterity, in his what he's. His legend, or whatever you might call it, and clean that up, because I think he was did so much good, and we're being deprived of that.
Sure.
By this, for a
very good reason. Mm-hmm. Because if the other countries, particularly those in Europe, had followed his example, the bankers, the international bankers, would have been out on their... Well, they would have been kicked out of the country, all the other countries. They wouldn't have, the other countries, would not have, borrowed money from the international bankers. They would have said, hey, you know what? We don't need you anymore. We can do this on our own. And, that is what the Germans were doing. And, that is why they hated Hitler so much, because he showed them another way. And I know, you know, people are, I'm certain that some of our listeners are just rolling their eyes wondering, what are these two women talking about? Have they had too much? I don't know.
Have we fallen prey to that evil gaze of Adolf Hitler, and when he, you know, looked in the, and he had this power over women, and all these women just thought he was terrific? They did. They did like him.
Yeah, I've been drinking too much kombucha tea or something, you know.
Well, maybe we should go into some of the details about this.
Okay.
Hitler was a Rothschild, and Hitler was a Frankenberger, and so on.
Okay,
so,
yeah, go ahead.
So people know what this is all about. Well,
sure.
The reason that it has been shown by, just for one person, Werner Maser, a very good historian, and certainly not a Hitler supporter or a Third Reich supporter. In fact, his overall position is that Hitler was bad for Germany. You know, he's mainstream in that sense, and, you know, was a disaster and all. But yet he believes in looking at documents and looking at real records and getting accurate history. And so he debunks all kinds of things that have been going around about Adolf Hitler. And for that reason, I like his book. And he went into all these records of Hitler's birth and ancestry. And the reason that the Jew stories don't hold up is because Hitler's grandmother, Marina Anna Schickelgruber, who was the one who was supposedly impregnated by a Jew, never went to Vienna, where she was supposedly worked for a... Or there's no evidence that she ever did.
And it wasn't just a Jew. It was a Rothschild.
Yeah, a Rothschild. And there's also no one, you will never find in any of these stories anyone giving any details about what Rothschild it was who lived in Vienna, who that family was, where they lived, or anything about them. Just that this little, and then they portray her as a little a little maid, you know, a little housemaid or something, when she was 42 years old at the time her son was born. She conceived her son, 42 years old. She wasn't a little girl who was, you know, working in a family, and the son of the family got her pregnant. And also there had to have been, well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. So, also the other story is that she was impregnated by, while she worked in the household of a Jewish family named Frankenberger in, Graz, Austria, which was a little farther away from where she lived than Vienna was. This story was put out by Hans Frank after he was condemned to death by the International Military Tribunal. He was one of the major war criminals. He was the Governor General of Poland during from 39 to 45, and he was trying to clear his conscience. He had reconnected with his Catholic faith, and he was clearing himself up with the counseling of a Catholic priest who they had there with him all the time. And so he wrote this report about various things, and one part of it was how he had done this investigation for Adolf Hitler into his genea, into his roots, and found that because he was concerned about, you know, this being a Jew and so on. And he says, and Hans Frank said that he found out that his grandmother, Hitler's grandmother, was working in this Frankenberger family, and their son got her pregnant, and she went back to her hometown to have the child, but the Frankenberger family paid a maintenance allowance for 14 years to her. They were such good people, you know, good and honorable people. Well, the fact is on this story that she was not in, there's no record that she was ever in Graz, and that from the end of the 15th century until, 1860, long after, or sometime after her child was born, Jews were excluded absolutely from that whole province of Styria, which included Graz. And Jews were not allowed to live there, to come there, and to even enter into it, except for a few years, between 1781 and 1784 or 3 or something like that, a couple of years, where they were allowed to come in for a few weeks during Lent and for this Feast of St. Giles, because they had fairs and they probably came and sold things at the fairs. Sure. They had to pay a sum for that. But after that, that was taken away. 2 years later, yeah, in 1783, that was again taken away from them, and there were no Jews there. And also records of course, Frankenberger could be German, not a Jew, but there's no record of any Frankenberger even living in Graz at that time. And also, she was not allowed to just travel around whenever she wanted without recording it, you know, because she was a subject of the lordship of Ottenstein, along with the other people there, or whatever that means. But Maser obviously thinks it means something. And also, she had money in this orphans fund, which he kept track of. He checked into, and it was there from 1821 to 1938 before she ever took it out. It was an inheritance she received from her mother, which in 1921. And if she had gone away during that time, they kept a record of where she lived, you know, her address and all that, and it never changed. So, and in 1838, after her son was born in 1837, then she took that money out. That's when she started taking that money out. So she was a very careful, as he says, shrewd woman. And and so this idea that she was ever in Vienna or Graz, or that this happened, is just there's nothing to back it up, nothing whatsoever.
Right. So she wouldn't have needed to work in anybody's household, particularly at her age, and had an inheritance.
Well, she might have, because she was unmarried. But another thing that he found out was, or that he revealed, and means something to me, is that her father and mother were quite prosperous in the, you know, this idea of farmers in that time. They were, you know, peasant farmers, what they called peasants. But they had a prosperous farm, and it was worth quite a bit. And they retired early and sold it to their son. And they lived on a little cottage that he built there on the property that they had. And she received some inheritance, and she didn't use it, so she obviously didn't need it. Now, I don't know what she was doing all that time, but she was known to be, or she's considered to be, a strong-minded woman, because when she got pregnant, she was 42, and she refused to name her father.
All righty. We're going to a break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Have you heard? Proactiv is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With new Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try new Proactiv risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactiv, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All righty, we are back. And Carolyn, you were talking about his grandmother not divulging the name of the father of her child, that she was that strong a person.
Yes, and to just, I'm glad I just tie this up, and then we'll be done with this whole story. But so she was 42, and he was given her name. She named him let me get that right, Aloysius. And then she did marry, when he was 5 years old, she married a man named Johann Georg Hiedler. Now, my Austrian friend tells me that's how it's pronounced. It's H-I-E-D-L-E-R, and it's pronounced the long E, Heedler. And then her son, now she was now 47. Her husband, this Georg, Johann Georg, was 50 years old. He had never been married. He was a farmer there in Speidel. That's where they were all living. And at that point, her son went to live with his uncle with Georg's brother. So his uncle via marriage to, you know, this new man. But this brother was 15 years younger than his brother Georg. His name was Johann Nepomuk. But he spelled his last name differently. Hitler. And so he went to live with him. Now, why did that happen? And why did she not, at that point when they married, say, well, this is the father of my child? Because later on, he was named, the baptismal record was added to, and he was named as the father of Alois. Alois was now legitimate, and his father is listed as Georg Heedler. But actually, Maser points out, and I think very astutely, that the father of Alois must have been this younger brother, Nepomuk, Johann Nepomuk. But when that happened, when he was conceived, Nepomuk was married. I'm taking too long here, but he was married. He had a wife and some daughters. So that's why Maria Anna would not divulge the name. And 5 years later, she married his brother, who was an older. And that way, now the boy, Alois, could go and live with his real father, which his real father wanted him. And we'll see that later in the inheritance, because he had only daughters. And they weren't going to have any more. He had three daughters, no son, and now his nephew, quote unquote, came to live with them, and he continued to live there with his uncle. And his mother, Maria Anna, died only 5 years or so later, when she was about 53 years old. So
very young.
She did die young. And so she might not have been in the best of health at that point, but nobody knows that either. That's just a pure speculation.
Sure.
But it seems like that's how they worked it all out, you know? And Maser says that Alois was happy with in his uncle's home, because they were younger, you know, and there were some cousins, and you know, there was just more going on. It was a more exciting place than to be with his old, you know, even though he loved his mother, and obviously she loved him and wanted the best for him. And obviously she loved this Johann Nepomuk, and was not going to interfere or hurt him or his family or anything. But obviously there was a liaison between the two of them, which resulted in this child who was the father of Adolf Hitler.
Sure, sure.
Very interesting.
Yes. Gerhard, who also lives in the same state that you do, sent me a website. We'll get it right after the break. Be right back.